You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas plays South Carolina on Saturday at 11 a.m. inside Razorback Stadium, the renewal of what was an annual rivalry for many years after the Razorbacks joined the SEC, but this will be the first time that Arkansas and South Carolina have played since 2017. First time they played in Fayetteville since 2013. Hard to believe it's been that long. Matt Jones with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com. And Tom, the last time that South Carolina came in, Steve Spurrier was still the coach, and they won 52-7, and he delivered the line after the game. He said, "I feel sorry for Arkansas. It must feel bad to get your butt beat like that on homecoming." Going to be a little bit different when South Carolina comes to town this week.
Yeah, you know, Spurrier never lacked for words, and I think he also said something about how they're going to have to dig themselves out of this with recruiting. And the truth of it was they were in a bad place. And by 2014, Arkansas actually had a very representative, solid team, you know, and that gave number one Mississippi State a great run on their home field. But also, I talked to Houston Nutt this week, and he reminded about the 2007 game here when Arkansas ran all over them. And actually, Felix Jones and Darren McFadden set the tandem rushing record against them. And Houston Nutt said that Spurrier came up and told him, "Man, we just didn't give you any competition today." And so it was always on Spurrier's mind, like that moment. And I kind of miss him in the league. He was so outspoken, but it should be a really good game. Dual threat quarterbacks on both sides. Both had some pretty special moments in their openers, and obviously a tone setter here on Saturday.
Shane Beamer, South Carolina's coach, was a first year defensive assistant when they came here in 2007. He was asked about that game this week. He said it felt like Felix Jones, Darren McFadden, and Peyton Hillis ran for 500 yards each during that game in 07. They didn't do that. I think the team ran for a little over 500 yards as a team, and McFadden tied the SEC record with 321 rushing yards that night. And this is a series that has always been just – I think it's been filled with fun games. Now, granted, it feels a lot different because they're not playing every year now. But, man, you go back and you think about through the 90s, and I think a lot of this was because both teams were new and they were probably kind of evenly matched, you know, but there were some great games. I think about the first Arkansas game I ever went to was 1993, the second week of the season, kind of like it is this year, and South Carolina came to Fayetteville. Oscar Malone scored a late touchdown for Arkansas, and Arkansas beat what was a pretty good South Carolina team 18-17, and it just felt like throughout the years the games were – there were some games that weren't very competitive, but the games were memorable more often than not for various reasons. You mentioned the McFadden-Felix Jones game. Madre Hill ran for a school record 6 touchdowns against South Carolina in 1995. there were some times where South Carolina beat Arkansas that probably it was like a coach's Waterloo moment. It was, you know, Danny Ford in Little Rock in 1997 when they lost in Columbia in 2017. I think that's when we all knew what the, you know, the future held for Brett Bielema at Arkansas. So again, it's a really interesting series. I understand why they don't play it anymore, but when you think about 2025 and beyond, when Texas and OU come in, Tom, this is where you're going to start seeing the benefits of that new scheduling format, whatever it may be, 8 games, 9 games, 3 permanent opponents, 1 permanent opponent, whatever it may be, you're going to not see these series be so spread out like they are right now. You'll see an Arkansas-South Carolina game at least every other year.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. I asked Ricky Stromberg and Hudson Clark about, you know, nobody on the team has played them. Dalton Wagner, I think the longest serving guy, came in the year after, you know, 2017. So nobody's played them. But so I asked Stromberg and Hudson Clark about that. You know, does it feel like you're playing a non-conference opponent almost? They're like, "Oh, no. It's because if you look at the roster, they have SEC talent on it." And Andrew, for a little piece of history, in that 2007 game, if you'll remember, Matt, the night of the game, they actually had in the stat deal McFadden with more than 321 yards. And it was not until the next day where I think they went through with a fine tooth comb, mm-hmm. because it was the SEC rushing record, and figured out that it was actual a dead heat with the guy from Vanderbilt, Frank Modica, I think is his name, from years ago. But that was a wild moment. And yeah, under Nutt, Arkansas was 7-3, and every year they won the game, they went to a bowl, and that's three Cotton Bowls, two SEC championships, etc. And the years they lost to them, they didn't go to a bowl game in two of those years, and went to I think the Las Vegas Bowl, you know, with probably a 6-6 record or so, maybe 7-5 in the other year. So you beat South Carolina, if you're Arkansas, that generally propels you into a better season.
Yeah, Arkansas lost to South Carolina in 2000. They were 6-5, and they lost to UNLV in the Vegas Bowl. To your point, McFadden, I remember this in 2007, because we wrote this after the game, had 323 rushing yards, and then they went back and they retracted 2 yards off of that total to give him 321. Andrew, the big story this week is going to be special teams. South Carolina, it was a huge part of their win over Georgia State last week. Two blocked punts. They set up another touchdown with a faked field goal. They kicked two field goals. And so you look at the 35-14 game, special teams made up a very large piece to what South Carolina did against Georgia State. It made up the winning margin, quite frankly, for them in that game. We've got Shane Beamer, son of legendary special teams, you know, guru Frank Beamer, who, I mean, Beamer ball. You hear Beamer ball? I don't know if you're old enough, Andrew. You know, I don't know if you know the Beamer ball, but man, you guys that have been around it for very long, you hear Beamer ball and all of a sudden everybody knows exactly what that means. And you go back to those early, you know, 2000s, late 1990s, Virginia Tech, Miami, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Syracuse. It seemed like games just were always turning on a big special teams play. And that's something to watch this week.
Yeah, I've heard the Beamer ball expression. I don't know that I've would have known it without it being brought up the past couple of weeks. I think I've done some more digging into it more recently. But to your point about the special teams being a key area to swing the game, I think that Sam Pittman addressed it in his press conference, and that I think he said that the two blocks they had in the week one weren't necessarily a matter of schematics, and they weren't drawing up intricate looks. It was just a couple of missed blocks by their opponent. And I think he said that, you know, Shane Beamer knows what him and Scott Fountain want to do on special teams, but he also knows what Shane Beamer wants to do on special teams. And so it's kind of an interesting battle there of who will blink first, or maybe try to throw a new look into something that they haven't seen before. And I think special teams becomes a more important part of the game when you're not able to win it outright on offense and defense, and you have to kind of maybe throw all your chips in for a punt block or something like that.
Fountain was a special teams analyst at Georgia when Beamer was the special teams coordinator there. Sam Pittman was the assistant coach, the offensive line coach at Georgia, worked for 2 years with Beamer. And Tom, you know, so many of Arkansas's games early in the last 2 years, and we talked about this last week when they were getting ready for Cincinnati, because Cincinnati was so good last year at blocking kicks and blocking punts. A lot of Arkansas's early season games have included blocked punts the last 2 years, and it was something that Pittman said before the season began that they were very aware of, and they were trying to do some things to, I guess, communicate better on the field so that they would potentially ward off those blocks. But you think about Georgia in 2020, Auburn in 2020, Rice last year, Georgia last year, those were all games that were basically within the first month of the season where they had trouble with their punt protection. And so it's definitely something to watch, I think, this week, especially with the familiarity.
Oh, no question about that. And, you know, there'll be little wrinkles. And honestly, both sides of the ball, I think there will be some packages, you know, whether blocking schemes, blitz schemes, et cetera, that they didn't show in week one. Colleges have gotten really good at that because all the analysts they have on board have really scouted the other team. And so adjusting to what they see that's new is important. Hey, look, Cincinnati, I don't think they got very close to blocking anything last week, but they did win the special teams. Mason Fletcher outpunted his brother. I think Max was maybe a little nervous. He didn't get the hang time, the distance on some of his punts where he could really let loose. And then when both of them had pooch punt opportunities, Mason had much better results punting inside the 10, you know, things like that. The South Carolina punter is the Ray Guy Award winner from last week. He had a huge game, averaged about 49 yards a punt. And their kicker, both of his field goals were 50 plus. So I mean, South Carolina has put a whole lot in their special team, but I don't think Arkansas is that far behind. They were a disaster in 2020. I just don't think they had time to get to everything with the COVID situation. But I do think they're a solid special teams unit now.
I would say it was a draw in special teams last week because you think about the two Cincinnati missed field goals. Those were really big keys to that game that helped Arkansas turn it around. But I understand what you're saying from a punt standpoint. And Sam Pittman said during the week that Max Fletcher and Reed Bauer are also still battling out there to be the punter. So remains to be seen what we'll see on the field against South Carolina. I think the special teams for South Carolina masks some of the problems that they had last week, and I'd say they wouldn't have beaten Georgia State, but you know, you look at their numbers, apparently they had a lot of problems with their offensive line. Spencer Rattler, not real impressive for his first game, especially being at a home game against a non-Power 5 team like Georgia State. 23 of 37 a week ago, one touchdown, two interceptions. It's going to be a lot different, I think, for South Carolina this week against a much better defense than they saw last week. And I know Arkansas's got its problems defensively. You know, Cincinnati got behind them a lot last week. They've got the injuries with Catalan and Slusher. But still, I think the point remains that even without those two players, Arkansas is a lot better defensively, much better athletes than what South Carolina saw a week ago.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to face a higher caliber opponent, but I think the biggest jump that teams make throughout the season is from week one to week two, because they're not really – the week one, you're just kind of getting a feel for what you've really got and your first taste of game action. So I think it's expected to be a little sloppy, and so I think you'll see a much better South Carolina team week two. With that said, you'll see a much better and much sharper Arkansas team week two. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with a much cleaner game.
Yeah, the battle in the trenches, I think, is going to be interesting. And I'm talking about the South Carolina offense versus Arkansas D. It's a veteran offensive line, but they really struggled last year, and they didn't run for much. I do think Spencer Rattler's dual threat capability will come into play, much like KJ Jefferson's in this game. He was sacked three times, and he didn't really run a lot. And that's what I mean by I think there's going to be packages that they didn't show. So Sam Pittman stated he wants to keep Rattler in the pocket because he's dangerous. He's accurate throwing on the run, but his stats were not impressive. However, I've talked to people at the game and said that it actually looked better. What he did looked better in person than what the stats reveal. So it's very important for them to establish some kind of running game. And I mean, their tight end, Jaheim Bell, who's kind of an H-back, fullback, tight end guy, led the team in rushing with 40 yards. So I think if they're not able to establish any kind of a run, that plays into Arkansas's hands.
Both teams could potentially get running backs this week. Arkansas, we'll start with them. Dominic Johnson, expanded workload during practice this week. Sam Pittman said earlier that it's probably going to be up to Dominic Johnson whether or not he can play this week, just depending on how he feels after he's gone through these practices. Last time that we spoke to Pittman was Wednesday before practice, and he said that they've still got two more practices really to evaluate whether or not he can play. Do you get a feel for whether or not you think he'll be added to the offense this week, Tom? And if so, what do you think that does to the running game that was pretty good a week ago with Jefferson running well? Rocket Sanders obviously went over 100 yards, but we know at some point Johnson's going to be infiltrated into that, you know, run game. They're going to get his carry total up. What do you think he might be able to add this week?
Well, I think he'll probably want to play. However, if I'm the Arkansas coaching staff, I might give him a series at the most, kind of like Malik Hornsby was in on a series. And we might see him in a couple of series this week. But I just think that they have a good situation right now at tailback. And honestly, when A.J. Green and Rashad DeBinion had touches, they were very productive touches and tackle breaking, making guys miss touches. And you want to get them the ball a little bit more too. We know what Dominic Johnson can do. And what I think might be smarter is if playing very lightly this week and next, or not at all this week, and have him ready to go to be like a hammer in the Texas A&M game if he's ready to go.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking off at that point, I think the running back room right now is kind of affording Arkansas the luxury of bringing Dominic Johnson back slowly, just because they have they, like Tom said, they have a good thing going right now in Rocket Sanders and the guys behind him. So it's not really a necessity that they bring Dominique back. I think if they were to hold him out this week and maybe bring him back week three against Missouri State, it might be a more easier for him to acclimate against a Missouri State defense than being thrown in against an SEC caliber defensive line right away.
And then for South Carolina, Christian Beal-Smith is expected to probably play. He's a transfer from Wake Forest who led Wake Forest in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns last season. He suffered Shane Beamer called it an ankle or foot injury during the preseason and never clarified. So certainly, you know, a lower body injury that's kept him out for quite a while. He didn't play last week against Georgia State, but he could be added to the roster this week. Tom, do you get a feel for if South Carolina is a very balanced team with Rattler coming in? Do you think they're going to throw the ball more?
Well, we only have the one game of data with Rattler, and you know he had some downfield targets. This Antoine Wells, I think he's also a transfer, had a pretty good game, and then they have a deep. Josh Van was their top guy last year, but he's kind of running second team, so it's I think they want to have balance, and I think they want to get the ball to Jaheim Bell, who's hard to tackle. And so he'll get his targets in both the run and pass game. But I just think there are going to be packages that Arkansas is going to have to contend with that heavily involve Rattler that they didn't put out last week.
If Jalen Catalon and Miles Slusher can't play this week based on practice, it looks like Latavius Breeny and Kari Johnson would get more snaps. You think that sounds accurate?
Yeah, I mean, well, Kari, we saw him playing the middle safety that is, you know, that was the Catalon spot. So I think both of them might at safety, and then at nickel, Jaden Johnson would get more run, and maybe Trent Gordon as well.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Kendall King. Kendall King is a retail execution company based in Bentonville. For more than 30 years, they have helped leading brands deliver creative POP solutions to their retail partners, design, display, signage. KendallKing.com. That's KendallKing.com.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
The Hogs Illustrated Sports Club will be back next week with a Tuesday meeting. Casey Dick, the former Razorback quarterback, will be there, and we scheduled this around his off date with Fayetteville High School, but also because Bobby Petrino's coming to town next week. And, of course, Casey Dick played for Coach Petrino in his first year at Arkansas, as Casey's senior year, and so he'll be in And so he'll be at the Hilton Garden Inn on Tuesday to talk about that experience, also his experience as a coach, all of his experiences playing for the Razorback. If you want to come to that, visit nwadealpiggy.com. That's nwadealpiggy.com, one of our sister websites, for ticket information. Again, Casey Dick on Tuesday, September 13th at the Hilton Garden Inn off of Weddington Drive in Fayetteville. Arkansas and South Carolina at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. The game will be televised by ESPN. Bob Wasiewski will be the play-by-play announcer. Dan Orlovsky will be the analyst, and Chris Budden will be on the sideline. The early game is something that Sam Pittman has talked about a lot this week, and I think that he was really influenced, Tom. You were there in Athens last year. Kirby Smart said before Arkansas came to town that they needed a big crowd. They needed a loud crowd to be a difference maker in that game. And I think they were influenced by what had happened a couple of years earlier when South Carolina came in and really wrecked their playoff chances by beating Georgia in an early game in 2019. Now, Georgia had a chance to still get to the playoffs, but they lost to LSU in the SEC championship game. But there was no way they were going to the playoffs as a two-loss team with that South Carolina loss on their docket. And so I think that the game in 2019 played a role in Kirby Smart asking for the crowd to be there and be loud last year. And then that game last year has certainly left an impression on Sam Pittman doing the same this week with asking the fans to be there early. We know how morning crowds go. Sometimes they can be kind of lethargic, sleepy, late arriving. He doesn't want that to be the case when South Carolina comes in this weekend.
Yeah, he did play kind of the Kirby Smart card on that one because yeah, Kirby Smart talked it up, encouraged people to come out. I mean, made a big deal out of it. And I think you're right. I think the 2019 game against South Carolina played into that. But I also, having been at that game, I will tell you, yeah, the crowd was loud and they made plays behind them. But they had the in-house, the mics or whatever, the field PA system cranked up to an unbelievably ear-splitting level, and that played a role in it. It was painful on the ears, but a lot of that was some manufactured noise too. It did get the crowd rolling.
We've seen a number of times at Arkansas that, you know, the 11 a.m. games, it doesn't provide as much of a home field advantage, and that's not a knock on Arkansas fans or its crowd or its stadium or anything like that. That's the case, it seems like, everywhere. That I almost feel like I'm more prone to pick an upset if it's an early game and the road team is the underdog. I almost feel more comfortable picking the road team in that scenario. I mean, you think back to last year for Arkansas, what was their only loss of the season in Fayetteville? It was to Auburn. It was an 11 a.m. game. Doesn't mean it was the 11 a.m. start time that cost Arkansas in that game, but the crowd that day just wasn't quite what it was against Texas or what it was, you know, later in the year for some of the other games. I think the 11 a.m. games make a real I think it makes a real difference in the crowd, the environment that the road team faces, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much stock I want to put into whether or not the 11 a.m. game is more or less a factor for the players. But I think for the fans, the timing of the game can make a huge difference. But I think when you look at, say, like a night game, when you have given the fans the ability to get a buzz going all day, all night long, and then they come to the game and they're ready to get rowdy in the stadium, you know, under the lights. I think those are kind of more intimidating environments than an 11 a.m. kickoff when they're just kind of getting out of bed and heading straight to the stadium. But on the flip side of that, and in the morning with the players wake up and they aren't so sharp either, that noise can definitely play more of a factor.
And Arkansas, they scheduled some early morning practices during the preseason to get ready for the 11 a.m. kickoff. Sam Pittman said that they had six practices that began before noon during the preseason. South Carolina actually practices in the morning during the season. Shane Beamer said this week, 11 a.m., that's about the time that we're getting off the field in Columbia when given the time difference between the Central and the Eastern time zone.
Yep, he did say that. And, you know, I've always thought that was interesting. Even the Spurrier years and Muschamp years, they would be going on the SEC teleconference like after they were coming off the practice field. So I guess the football players have always been able to schedule late morning or early afternoon classes for their whole deal.
Yeah, I wonder if it becomes kind of institutional at some point that, you know, this is how we've always done it, and this is how it's easiest to schedule these classes for the athletes at Arkansas. It seems like it's always been afternoon practices once school begins. Prediction time, lots of interesting games across the SEC this week. Much more difficult games, I think, to predict than a week ago. And we'll start with one that is kind of sneaky. In Nashville, Wake Forest, ranked in the AP poll this week, goes to Vanderbilt, who's 2-0. Tom, who do you have?
I picked Wake Forest. I mean, granted, I think Vanderbilt's a tougher out right now. They're playing with a lot of confidence. And I think Hartman is still unavailable, if I'm right, the quarterback. So yep. I still pick Wake Forest. I just think maybe they're stronger throughout. But wouldn't be a shock at all if Andy won it.
Yeah, I think I did pick Vanderbilt in mine. And I thought I saw something the other day that Hartman was cleared a few days ago. I'm not sure if he's going to play yet or not, but that had me second guessing my pick, and this is probably the game I'm least confident about.
Vanderbilt offensively has been really good through the first 2 weeks, but you have to look at the teams they played, Hawaii and Elon, and their defense kind of let them down a little bit against Elon. That was a much tighter game than I think they probably expected after what they had done in week one out on Oahu. So I think Wake Forest goes in and win, but it would not surprise me to see Vanderbilt. Another interesting game this week, Kansas State hosts Missouri. This is an old Big 12 matchup, now SEC Big 12. Missouri, I don't know how I feel about them going in there.
I do not feel good about Missouri going in there. I didn't feel good about Missouri playing Louisiana Tech, and that was, I mean, they won it, but it wasn't a convincing win. It was ugly. They haven't done anything to convince me that my preconceived notions are incorrect so far, so I think they'll go and lose to K-State.
That's a good one. This was the pick I struggled with the most. Missouri was a better, much better defensive team. I think the transfers, that linebacker in particular, they look a little bit different defensively. And I struggled with the pick, but I eventually came back and went with Kansas State.
I just don't trust Missouri. I don't think that the program's going in the right direction under Eli Drinkwitz. I think that Kansas State is a team that they're kind of like Utah, kind of like Northwestern. They're one of those teams that I don't think they make a lot of mistakes, and they wait for the other team to make a mistake and then they pounce on it. They're a much more patient team. And I think they can be very frustrating to play, especially when they're in their home stadium. So I think Kansas State wins that one. A little Pac-12 after dark action this week. Mississippi State goes to Tucson, Arizona to play the Wildcats. Arizona was 1-11 last week, but both of these teams won in week one. Mississippi State beat Memphis. Arizona beat San Diego State.
Yeah, beating them on the road too. I said I struggled the most with Missouri-Kansas, but it's Kansas State, but I might have struggled with this one the most. And because I picked this game 4 days ago, I don't remember who I picked. But I'm going to try to tap into what I was thinking. And that even though Arizona, I think, is a better quality club than they were before, it's hard to stop that Mississippi State offense for a full game. And I think I picked Mississippi State. I'll go with that.
You did. Andrew.
Yeah, I've also got Mississippi State. Arizona's going to have to be better than they were before to even keep it a game. If they're 1-11 last year, I don't think they're going to particularly make it interesting.
I could see this being one of those really high-scoring games that keeps people up late. And I think anytime Mike Leach is involved, you just have no idea what kind of game you're going to get, but it's probably going to be pretty entertaining. I think Mississippi State wins because I think they've got a better program right now than Arizona does. But again, it wouldn't surprise me to see a shootout out in Tucson. Alabama goes to Texas on Saturday. It's an 11 a.m. kick in Austin. The Crimson Tide will be there, but the Million Dollar Band won't, Tom.
That's right. And, Arkansas dropped that big physical deal on Texas last year, and that became the narrative over the Longhorns. So you know they've addressed it, but Bama's just stronger throughout. I've got them by a couple touchdowns minimum.
Yeah, this game's definitely, I think, more interesting just because of the name value of the schools rather than the product that you're going to see on Saturday. I think Alabama wins in a pretty easy, by an easy margin.
Yeah, I don't think Texas has much of a chance of hanging with Alabama. It's interesting, Texas, the game in Fayetteville last year, they play Alabama this year in Austin. I believe they go back to Tuscaloosa next year. It's really a nice blueprint for Texas to really understand. And Steve Sarkisian's been in the SEC, so I don't know that it's too big of a learning curve. But I think they are going to understand after Saturday, just like they understood last year in Fayetteville, that they've got to get a lot more physical on the offensive and defensive lines in order to hang with the SEC teams on a week-in and week-out basis. Tennessee goes to Pittsburgh. This is the Johnny Majors Bowl. Pittsburgh won in Knoxville last week. Both of these teams are ranked. Looked good in week one. Pittsburgh, of course, had that win over West Virginia in the backyard brawl. Tennessee beat Ball State in week one rather handily. Tom, who you got?
Matt, I think you and I went undefeated last week. We won't this week just because there's so many tough, to me, toss-up games. We already mentioned two or three already, and this to me was another one. I like what Tennessee's doing offensively. They're going to be hard to hold under probably 31 points unless they really, self-inflict some stuff. Narduzzi made some comments this week about, oh, we only play peewee ball. There's only two conferences. You know, fire the fans up and what have you. Look, that was a nice win they had over West Virginia last week. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I did pick Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm also going with Tennessee, and I would probably go with Pitt if they had not lost the Jordan Addison, the Biletnikoff winner to USC in the transfer portal, and then obviously Kenny Pickett to the NFL. So I think those two losses are going to be too big for them to overcome.
Yeah, I went back and forth on this. I think the revenge factor for Tennessee is going to be really big this week. Pitt came in, made them look pretty bad in Knoxville last week. I think this is a much better Tennessee team. I think they go in and win this weekend. Pittsburgh, the one that I struggled the most with, Kentucky's at Florida. Florida jumped into the AP poll this week. They went from unranked to number 12. Kentucky ranked number 20 this week. This is a series that has really tilted toward Florida throughout the years, but over the last 4 years, it's been split 2-2.
I did not struggle with this one. I respect everything Mark Stoops has done. Kentucky's a tough out. I watched the game last year, and it was a fun watch. But I think Florida's on to something. I really like Billy Napier, and I picked him to win.
Yeah, I also have Florida, and I'm willing to admit it may be a prisoner of the moment take after their upset of Utah. And I think Anthony Richardson really looked like the next big thing at the quarterback position. And I do think Billy Napier was a solid hire as well. So I think that they have a good shot against Kentucky.
We need somebody else in here so we're not agreeing so much. If you actually look at our picks in the Hogs Illustrated Game Day Extra on Saturday, we've got some varying opinions, just not between the three of us. I went back and forth on this. Kentucky, I think they are a really good line of scrimmage team. Like Tom said, I like Mark Stoops. I think that he does a good job. But I think Kentucky struggles some early in the season. It seems like they're a team that gets a lot stronger as the season goes along. And the fact they're playing in Florida, you've got the Florida crowd now re-energized. It's probably going to be 93,000 strong in the swamp this week. I went with Florida, but it would not surprise me if Kentucky went in there and won. Again, I went back and forth on this, and I think I actually had Kentucky at one point and changed my mind to Florida just before I turned in the picks. All right, the game of the week for us, Arkansas hosting South Carolina on Saturday. The Gamecocks and Razorbacks both 1-0. Arkansas challenged a lot more in week one by a really good by a really good Cincinnati team. Sam Pittman said that he expects the same type of physical game from South Carolina that Cincinnati gave them. But Tom, do you think South Carolina has the athletes yet to compete with Arkansas, who proved themselves last year with a 9-win season?
Well, I think they probably are going to have to make some type of special teams play or other, an outstanding type play to have a chance. I think if it just plays out on chalk, the South Carolina probably doesn't do a whole lot in the run game. I am somewhat concerned about depth on the D line and in the secondary for the Razorbacks, but I've got them winning the game.
Yeah, I'm also taking the Razorbacks, but I think it's going to be a closer game than a lot of people are, or a lot of Razorback fans are maybe expecting. Something about watching Shane Beamer take that Mayo bath in the Mayo Bowl last year has me just a really big fan of his, and it's hard picking against him after watching that, but I got to take the Razorbacks.
It does feel like South Carolina is going to have a hard time holding on to Shane Beamer if he continues to have success. You look at him, he's young, he's energetic. You look at some of the things that he does with social media, obviously is able to relate to the players and to the younger generation of fans. I just think he's going to be a really big name, maybe even at the end of this year, but certainly within the next 2 to 3 years in the coaching cycle, as long as he keeps winning more games than he loses at South Carolina. I don't think he has to have that 10-2 season to be a big name. I think he could have a 60% winning percentage, and he's going to be a coach that a lot of people are looking at, given who he's worked for, Lincoln Riley, Kirby Smart, of course, his dad, Frank Beamer. I think he's going to be a big name in coaching searches. But back to this week's game, I just think that Arkansas is going to win. I don't know why. But I look at last week and the competition. Arkansas beat Cincinnati. South Carolina struggled some to beat Georgia State if it weren't for the special teams plays. And as Sam Pittman said, it wasn't schematic. It was more mistakes on Georgia State's part that it would have been a much closer game and a much more uncomfortable game than I think people in Columbia would have been okay with. But again, Arkansas, I just like them at home. I like what KJ Jefferson showed last week. And I think defensively, they've shown a little bit more of a pass rush than I thought they would have. I know it didn't show up all the time against Cincinnati, but I think against this offensive line from South Carolina that might not be as good as the one they faced last week, I think Arkansas might be able to get a rush against Spencer Rattler. I think that they might be able to make it a long day on him. And I think the crowd is going to show up and give Sam Pittman the type of atmosphere that he's asked for this week. I think that might be kind of fun to watch on Saturday. So I think Arkansas beats South Carolina and moves to 2-0. You can go to our website this weekend, wholehogsports.com, for a preview of the game right now. Also, all of our coverage Saturday and Sunday will be there on the website as well. We'll be back with another Whole Hog Football podcast early next week to recap the Razorbacks game against South Carolina and to preview Bobby Petrino's return to Fayetteville when Missouri State comes in next week. Missouri State's played the last two Thursday nights. They're 2-0 right now, and they're ranked number 5 nationally in the FCS. FCS team probably can't compete with an SEC team, but certainly there's some intrigue there because of who their head coach is. So for Tom Murphy and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us. Hope you'll visit us at wholehogsports.com, and we'll see you next week.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.